to refer to it as a National Firearm Act weapon. He brought up a point of we referred to citizens in one case, and we should use the word person, which I concur. He brought up an issue of making amendment to 166290, and since the bill has no relating clause to that issue, which regards to a license to carry a weapon, that couldn't apply to this bill. And then there was another issue, question was, should we amend firearms? The issue was carrying firearms, whether we should say loaded or unloaded, carrying openly, not concealed, within the meaning of the section. That's in the part that we deal with, if you want to reference it, is on the page 4 of the amended version of the bill, section 3. And when we worked with the ACLU and every group in between, that was never brought up. And in fact, I would resist making a change at this point until we have a chance to really discuss it. Before the Senate committee, there was a reason to change that brought up, and perhaps we could. But the other ones, the other issues that he brought up, I was kind of in my motion make that we indeed do amend the wording to that. So,
do we have, if I understood you correctly, Representative, you do have some amendments you'd like us to consider?
Well, there were suggestions made, and I'm not opposed to the suggestions of several word changes. So,
would it be your preference we try to deal with those now? Or?
Right.
Okay.
Move along.
Do we have those?
We do, and I could go through it specifically if you would open your bill up. The first one would be on page 3 of the bill, line 8, where it refers to the citizen. Replace that wording with persons.
Okay, let's make sure we're... I think you mean page 4, don't you?
Well, is it the 4th? Oh, excuse me, it is the 4th page.
Okay, where it says the citizens, we should say the persons?
Right.
Okay.
And that I, you know, I don't have any strong feeling one way or another, and we can check with counsel. The reason they brought up is this would bring it in, that's the persons is the word used in the federal law and civil rights, and that would be at least consistent. And I don't have a strong feeling one way or another.
How about down on line 11? Do we need to change citizen there also to the person's place of residence?
Yes, both of them would be.
Okay.
No. Citizens was just a word picked up by legislative counsel and Frank and I when we went over it. And there was no magic to that word in the first place.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take them one at a time. Is there any objection to Representative Phillips' motion to amend lines 8 and 11, page 4 of the Hannah Gross bill, where it indicates the citizens to indicate the persons? Any objection? If not, that'll be adopted. What's next, Representative?
Okay. Turn back to page 3, line 19. Possesses or has in possession any, it says machine gun now, was suggested we remove that word and those two words and put in National Firearm Act weapon, which is consistent with the federal system as I understand it. In addition, I will say he also wanted a more of amendments to a bill that was worded in 1983, I believe, wasn't that one? 81. And again, I don't want to bring in any real substantive amendments at this point since I've showed it to every group that was involved and have heard no objections. And if he wants to bring it up on the Senate side, that's for discussion at that point. I have no problem.
Okay. Representative, just a personal concern is that if we adopt the language I think that Mr. Nichols recommends, I think for purposes, since we're talking about criminal acts, the public has to know somewhere exactly what a National Firearm Act weapon is. And if that's not defined in ORS somewhere, then it's very difficult for a person to know just what it is that's expected of them or what is going to be prescribed or subject themselves to criminal sanctions. So I guess I'm
not wedding myself. These are suggestions that were brought up right as I walked into committee. I didn't have the opportunity to have handed to me where I could look at them previously. So I'm just suggesting these are things that were brought up. And if there's feelings among the committee not to change machine gun, that's an issue that could be taken up.
Representative Bowden.
Let me just ask a question. As a practical matter, couldn't these appear to me to be somewhat minor? Couldn't these be done very easily in the Senate?
Yes.
Since they're so
yes.
late? I share Representative Springer's concern on this particular issue, and it would be my preference, if we could, to deal with those when the body, Senate committee, had more time to look at it.
Okay. Representative Phillips, I sense maybe the balance of the amendments perhaps ought to be dealt with in that fashion also, unless there's any sentiment particularly strong otherwise.
Well, then, why don't I make a motion to move a bill to a full House to do fast recommendations.
Okay.
As amended.
Okay, let me go ahead and place a motion. Representative Phillips moves House Bill 2384 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Kopetsky.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I want to make sure Representative Phillips is saying that the National Rifle Association has signed off on these amendments. Is that?
Well, again, what we attempted to do with the bill is to clean up a number of controversial issues, and I mailed them a copy of it, and I was under the understanding that every group had signed off on it, and then I received this, and Mr. Nichols should be on the record of shaking his head no, but when I talked to the NRA, Lou Broom in Washington, D.C. to check out, he indeed says he showed it to his attorney, and they had no problem. So I'm getting mixed messages from that organization. And again, I spoke with Lou, was it last week when they were in town, and told him he would be coming. He didn't express any great concern. So I guess, you can take that for, I'm not going to speak for that organization. I would suggest that since they came in with some amendments that they're not, it would be best, of course, and I believe their perspective, if we did nothing. I don't think that's the way to look at it. And as a card-carrying NRA member, and if you want to say loyal to the Brotherhood, I'm not going to, try and sweep it on the rug.
And follow the land.
And,
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate that
Representative Kopetsky.
We ask Mr. Nichols what his objections to the bill are as amended now?
Well, that could be appropriate. However, I want to avoid for the work session on specific amendments, because if the need is to send this back to subcommittee to try to deal with objections, if members feel that's the need, then let's do that. If members are willing to proceed with the bill,
I guess
let's do it. But I don't want a work session that would take any more amendments now that are going to involve lengthy discussion, since we do have six more bills to deal with here in full committee this afternoon, as well as a subcommittee hearing this afternoon.
I guess, no, if it's that there is a section of the bill or ORS that Mr. Nichols would like amended in this bill, and that is his objection to the bill, then we can deal with that, and we've got plenty of vehicles in subcommittee, and I don't have a problem with voting for the bill. But I guess what I would like is whether there's a problem with what is before us in terms of language or not. Is that?
I think
I really would like to, with every bill, to move them along.
Representative Kopetsky, if you'd like to hear from Mr. Nichols, we'll allow a few moments for that opportunity.
2 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
2 minutes.
I'm John Nichols. I represent the Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association, which is the state affiliate of the NRA. In answer to Mr. Phillips' statement that we were consulted, on the original version of House Bill 2384. The first we knew of the amended version was when we were handed a copy at the subcommittee hearing on the bill. We did not have a chance to read it and did not testify on it. We did not get a clean copy of the thing when you have before you until Monday. The NRA attorney has never seen the amended or the clean copy. I went over it on the phone with him, and he's We won't get mad and throw a tantrum if it goes through in the present form, but we do have serious problems with certain sections of it, and I guess it's pretty well cut and dried, so I won't go into them.
Mr. Nichols, I guess that's what I'm after. Maybe if I'm hearing you, these things can be fixed, and I'd be glad to work with you in fixing those things.
Okay. I just, we agreed sort of to the original version, but we didn't even see this on Monday.
They saw it when I saw it, and I did pressure to me that I had it back to the NRA. Any suggestion or implication that I've tried to keep anything away from, I take as a direct insult, and I want to know that. I want you to know that.
Representative Phillips, I am not attempting to insult you. I'm just simply saying that through whatever reason, a breakdown in the United States mails or whatever, we didn't see this.
Okay, well,
so I insulted you, I certainly apologize.
Okay, I think we've benefited about as much as we can from this discussion. Representative Kopetsky, does that answer the questions
yes.
that you felt needed to be resolved? Okay, we have a motion before us. Is there any further discussion or comment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Yo?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Lieutenant Phillips, I assume you'd like the honors on this one?
If I could.
Okay. Thank you. 2663.
This bill, as amended by the subcommittee, amends two statutes that have been recently ruled unconstitutional by the court. ACLU, basically, this is a sort of omnibus bill to bring in legislation that would clean up the statutes similarly to what the Law Improvement Committee has done with their bills. This bill amends RS 136.617, which authorizes the court to compel a witness to give testimony which is self-incriminating. The statute sets up a kind of immunity called use and derivative use immunity, which the Supreme Court has held unconstitutional. So the bill would has rewritten the statute, which reflects that only transactional immunity is available, and that has been ruled constitutional here in Oregon. Secondly, the bill deletes from the statute's language that the federal court has held as unenforceable on First Amendment grounds. And the bill rewrites that statute to include language that states that textbooks should stress the achievements of the country's founding fathers rather than prohibiting any type of criticism of the founding fathers in textbooks. It also had a provision that dealt with switchblades, but since we had Representative Phillips' bill before the committee, we deleted that section. So just Section 1 and Section 3 are valid. You have a reconstituted bill attached to your staff measure analysis.
Okay, and I want to apologize to Ms. Remington, who was with us till the wee hours Monday night, and I think had to get back to Portland just as we might have acted on this bill, and I think I had assured her that we probably weren't going to take action, so it was okay for her to leave. It turned out that our agenda moved a little faster than I expected that it did. Ms. Remington, we took out Section 2 because we felt it had been addressed and Representative Phillips' bill, and I just wanted to offer that explanation to you on the record and so you understand what happened. Okay. Any further action necessary in terms of any amendments or anything?
No, the subcommittee's acted on all the amendments. It's a fairly simple bill.
Okay, except the removal of Section 2.
Right.
Okay, and that was to the full committee on a 6-0 vote, if I recall.
That's right.
Okay. Representative Bunn.
I would move House Bill 2663 with the due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Bunn moves House Bill 2663 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Comment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Phillips, it's your lucky day. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Bellamy.
I never thought I'd see the day when I voted for an ACLU bill. Remarkable event.
Well, it was the first time for everything, and we're glad that Judiciary Committee is the place where it happened.
I think that is voluntary.
Is that a desire to rest the responsibility for carrying this?
Yes, I think it's all yours, buddy.
Yeah, the way I'm carrying.
So moved. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy, I know you'd really earn a special place in the heart of the ACLU if you were to.
He already has.
Well, we'll.
I'd suggest that unless there's no objection in the next 3 seconds, that you just assign him to carry the bill.
We'll discuss that a little bit later. Thank you.
Sponsors may object.
There's a story about a canary singing and.
Yeah, I know.
We'll just let that continue. 2401.
All right, this is a relatively simple bill brought to us by the State Fire Marshal. The present law requires that people must have a certificate of possession issued by the State Fire Marshal in order to purchase or have in their possession any explosives. The law presently prohibits anyone who has been convicted of a felony from possessing explosives without regard to the nature of the felony, i.e. whether it was a violent or a non-violent felony. The State Fire Marshal requested that the law be changed so that an individual would be eligible for a certificate of possession to have explosives after the person has waited 7 years from the time of the conviction. And also to amend the statute to say that to only allow those people who have been convicted of nonviolent felonies to have that kind of certificate. The committee discussed further whether someone convicted of driving under the influence should be ineligible to qualify for a certificate, because the statute that talks about being convicted of a felony also talks about drug use, and the drug statutes also go to alcohol abuse. The committee felt that someone convicted of a DUI charge should not be denied a certificate on the basis of that kind of conviction, so the bill was amended to allow someone convicted of driving under the influence to be eligible for a certificate. In addition, as I said before, if a person has been convicted of a criminal offense involving a controlled substance, that person has waited 7 years, they shall be eligible for a certificate of possession. There is no fiscal impact to the bill, and as I, from my notes, there weren't any other issues that were discussed regarding this bill.
Okay, if I recall correctly, we did have amendments which were adopted in the subcommittee.
They were adopted in the subcommittee, and your reconstituted bill is attached to your staff measure analysis.
Okay.
Should be, if it isn't.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay, we do have a representative from the Fire Marshal's office, if there are. Representative Kopetsky.
I don't think it matters, but in this bill, but we did vote on a bill the other day on the floor that does amend this section. And it was Representative Brigiotti carried it, and it had to do with the transportation aspects of transporting and parking of vehicles that contain explosives. And I, on the Senate side, somebody ought to watch for any needed conflict amendments.
I would be delighted to, if you want to act on the bill, to make sure that there aren't any conflicts, and if there are, bring it back.
Okay, I don't know if it's dealt with a conflict or a conforming amendment, but we'll make sure that our council and legislative council have that flag for their attention. Council?
Do you recall, Representative Kopetsky, what the number of that bill was?
Why don't we handle that later, unless you recall specifically what it is. Any further discussion or comment? Okay, is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 2401 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Hill moves House Bill 2401 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? comment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Donahue?
Aye.
Button?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Lutzke?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Hey, Representative Eggrons is listed as the sponsor on this. We will confer with him and see if he desires to carry the bill, and if for some reason he does not or cannot, the chair will, in the staff measure analysis, find another carrier after having conferred with that individual. Okay, we have 2128.
This is the bill that was presented to us by the Judicial Department. Mr. Linden appeared to testify in favor of the bill. Presently, the statutes only permit bail in infraction cases to be refunded to the defendant. This bill would change the law so that the bail money or a security deposit would be refunded to the defendant or to a person named by the defendant, because there are cases where a relative or a friend is posted the bail instead of the defendant, and when the court releases that money, it's a much simpler, more efficient process for the money to go to the person who actually posted the bail. But the bill says the defendant shall designate who the money, the refund is to go to, and so the defendant would be protected if there were any question about that. There wasn't any opposition to the bill, and there weren't any amendments offered, and there was no fiscal impact that we were advised of when we heard the bill. And all the amendments were acted on. Well, there weren't any amendments. The committee, subcommittee moved it to the full committee last week with a recommendation for a due pass.
Representative Miller.
Move House Bill 2128 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Miller moves House Bill 2128 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Comment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Delaney?
Aye.
Button?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Any volunteers?
Sure.
Representative Miller?
Sure.
Okay, let's save the next goodie for Representative Peterson.
Yeah.
No. Thank you. Okay, House Bill 2514.
All right. Okay. In 1983, the legislature changed the habitual revocation process. Those people have been convicted or declared habitual offenders. They changed the law and the process from a judicial action to administrative action. In addition, the length of revocation was reduced from 10 years to 5 years. However, the legislature failed to change the revocation period for people convicted under the old law so that they would be able to take advantage of the new law. This bill would allow all drivers who were declared habitual offenders before January 1st, 1984 to be eligible to reinstate their driving privileges after 5 years. The Peter Nunnenkamp of the Motor Vehicles Division, Representative Brigiotti, and a couple of other people testified in favor of the bill. The representative from the Motor Vehicles Division said that the payment of a reinstatement fee would take care of any fiscal impact of the bill, and no one testified in opposition to it. We've reported out with a due pass recommendation. There is, as I say, there wasn't a fiscal impact.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Miller?
I move House Bill 2513 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Miller moves House Bill 2513 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Delaney?
Aye.
Bunn?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. We'll contact Representative Brigiotti to see if he wishes to carry the bill as a prime sponsor. If not, we'll make other arrangements that will be announced in the measure analysis. Okay. Representative Bone and I have been asked to go to the Speaker's office for a conference briefly. I don't want to interrupt the work of the full committee, however. I think 2948 is ready for action. I believe, Mr. Brea, were you able to get some information on 2776?
Right.
Okay, we can take that up. On 2671, the recoupment issue, because this bill Representative Kopetsky, you can correct me if I misspeak myself, but it appears to me that in this bill, we do touch upon, because of some amendments we made, it may have an effect upon net revenue, because we have not only eliminated certain unconstitutional provisions, but we also made a policy decision not to require recoupment of those who have a court-appointed counsel if they then participate in the DUI diversion program, and also if their case is civilly compromised. We did that in part because there's a fair question as to whether or not those provisions for recoupment would be found to be constitutional in light of Judge Panner's decision in the Fitch v. Belshaw case. Because there's a potential net revenue impact, and consistent with our discussion and direction from the speaker earlier this afternoon, I think we ought to carry 2671 also over for at least a week to permit us to analyze the fiscal impact or revenue impact of all of the fee-related bills. So unless there's a strong statement otherwise, that would be the chair's request, and that would be how we would proceed. Okay. Representative Bunn and I are going to be excused, and Vice Chair Miller, if you would conduct the balance of this afternoon's hearing on 2948 and 2776, we hope to return in just a few minutes.
We'll open the work session on House Bill 2948. Council? You want to describe 2948?
Yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Vice Chair, I don't have that bill in front of me. If you'll give me 3 seconds, I'll zip to my office and get it.
All right. You want to comment? 2948?
Life generally.
Oh. Well, Mr. Don Hefner is here from the Marine Board. The bill was amended. Conformity amendment with the intent of the opponents. Essentially what's happened over, I think, a couple of sessions is that there the fines, penalties of Marine violations should go to the credit of the Marine Board. And one way or another, the statutes were changed, and a lot of these funds are going into the general fund as opposed to being credited with the Marine Board. So this clarifies the policy and says these fines assessments will be credited to their budget. In fact, we had testimony that said that some funds are being sent to their to them already, even in violation of the statute. And so this sets that policy that Marine-related fine shall go to the Marine Corps budget.
Okay, Council, do you want to bring the rest of the committee up to date on what it is we have accomplished?
Right. Representative Kopetsky outlined exactly what the bill is designed to do. We've amended it only in respect on line 5, and I'm sorry, I do not have a reconstituted bill for you today. I don't have it. But if you look at line 5, at the very end of the sentence, it says, except ORS 488.071. You draw a line through that. Draw a line all the way through line 6 up to shall be paid by. Leave shall be paid by. By deleting those sections, you allow the monies from the fines that are collected to go to the State Marine Board, which was the original intention of the statute. That's the only amendment that the committee adopted, the subcommittee adopted. And there isn't any fiscal impact because the money would just be redirected to the Marine Board as it was originally designed to do. And I think they testified that they were receiving the money anyway, even though the statute doesn't allow them to do it. The subcommittee voted in favor of the bill. This was on Monday. And there aren't any other ramifications of the bill that I'm aware of.
Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2948 as amended with due pass recommendations and for the however, I guess.
Representative Kopetsky moves House Bill 2948 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kopetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
House Bill 2948 passes. Volunteers?
I'll take it.
Representative Phillips, thank you. They will return to House Bill 2776. Rocky, you have the latest update.
Mr. Chairman, I just contacted Mr. Carney of Biostatistics. His department has no objection to raise. He gave me some background information on the questions required on the marriage application. The questions are part of the National Marriage Registration Program, and there's certain information that's collected at the national level, and they give certain types of information, require certain types of information from the states. Race is recommended but not required. 19 states do not have a race question on marriage applications.